From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Joe Palka reporting. The Iraqi city of Ramadi struggling with security. As many as 700 Islamic State fighters could still be holed up in and near the recently liberated city of Ramadi, making it difficult for Iraqi forces to secure the provincial capital. Much of the city has been destroyed and tens of thousands of residents have fled. But James Jeffrey, a former diplomat to Baghdad, now at the Washington Institute for Near East Policy, says he's hopeful Ramadi can resume basic functions soon.
I went into Fallujah a few months after the Marines took it house by house, and most of the city was functioning and back in operation. Now, ISIS may be doing a better job of blowing up buildings as they retreat, a scorched earth policy, but still, I was very impressed with what Fallujah looked like a few months after we went in and took that thing house by house.
Ramadi fell this week to Iraqi security forces backed by U.S.-led coalition airstrikes and local Sunni tribesmen after a six-week assault. Iran said Thursday it would respond to any interventionist measures by the United States after U.S. officials said the Treasury Department was preparing new sanctions connected to Iran's ballistic missile program. Iranian Foreign Ministry spokesman Hossein Jaber Ansari called the planned sanctions unilateral. The Wall Street Journal, which first reported the planned moves, said the sanctions will likely be formally announced this week and include about 12 people and companies in Iran, Hong Kong, and the United Arab Emirates. The sanctions would call on U.S. banks to freeze the assets of those on the list and bar individuals and companies in the U.S. from doing business with them, according to the journal. Iran test-fired missiles in October and November. The U.S. and France said the October launch violated a U.N. Security Council resolution banning Iranian development of a ballistic missile. This is VOA News. The outgoing UN envoy to Somalia, Nicholas Kay, says the country has an unstoppable momentum toward being a stable and secure state. Speaking to VOA before stepping down at year's end, Mr. Kay also said reasonable progress has been made in fighting al-Shabaab militants.
A year and a half ago, al-Shabaab controlled many significant towns and districts across Somalia. They no longer do. At least 14 of them have been recovered by a combination of the AMISOM and Somali National Army working together. Al-Shabaab, territorially, in a much weaker position than they were before.
Mr. Kay told VOA that Somalia has managed to convert a dream of being a federal Somalia into a reality. In Burundi, Bujumbura has rejected the African Union's plan to send 5,000 peacekeepers to the country to protect civilians. Anita Powell is in Johannesburg and files this report.
Speaking to the nation Wednesday, after weeks of violence, Burundi's increasingly cornered president, Pierre Nkurunziza, launched a stunning verbal parry to an African Union proposal to send in 5,000 peacekeepers, saying, "The country will have been attacked, and it will respond," though violence has continued. South Africa-based analyst Stephanie Walters described Nkurunziza's words as incredibly irresponsible. Walters is head of the Conflict Prevention and Risk Analysis Program at the Pretoria-based Institute for Security Studies.
I think the fact that Nkurunziza has said that he will attack African Union troops, it's not a blow to the AU. It makes his government look entirely irresponsible.
And so whatever is decided, Walters says, it needs to happen fast. Anita Powell, VOA News, Johannesburg.
The African Union has threatened to place sanctions on Burundi's rival political factions if they fail to attend peace talks next month in Tanzania. A U.S. newspaper is reporting that the U.S. spied on communications of Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu after President Obama promised 2 years ago to curtail such eavesdropping. The two leaders sharply disagreed over the merits of the international nuclear deal with Iran, but Middle East regional analyst Michael Fishbach of Randolph Macon College in Virginia does not see the latest revelation as harming bilateral ties.
It's generally agreed that both the president and Prime Minister Netanyahu have agreed to put the past unpleasantness behind them. And so I really don't think this is going to be a major breakthrough as far as changing the tenor of American-Israeli relations or the relations personally between the president and the prime minister. Now, what it does for the president's relationship with Congress, which is controlled by the opposition Republican Party, is another matter.
For more on all these stories, visit our website at voanews.com. This is Joe Palka reporting from Washington.
That's the latest world news from VOA.